This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Sharad Abdullah on the morning run on this Tuesday, 5th of March. Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Julian. Good. Thank you. How are you?
All right. How have things been yesterday?
Not too
bad.
Any
updates?
Well,
update me on your life yesterday. I want to know all the details.
Ah, my life. Well, I got introduced to Rubik Cube again.
What?
Yeah,
no.
Well, my daughter got access to it. Yeah, well, my daughter got access to it and started asking me, how do I do this?
Can you complete the Rubik's Cube?
So, yeah, that was the problem, wasn't it? It's like, I don't know how to do it. So I was actually learning how to do the Rubik's Cube last night.
You know, I got the formula once in school. Like, someone just told me how to do it. Like, this is the way you do it, right? You twist it here and twist it there. And I memorized the whole thing. And it started showing off to people like how smart I was. But I had no idea how it worked, right? I just memorized the moves.
It's just memorization, really. I think there are different formulas you can memorize, coming from a person who has also memorized them at some point. But ultimately, yeah, it's really just a show off.
And that's the problem with our school entire education system, right? It's all about rote learning. We never like try to get to the bottom of it.
Well, are you free for dinner tonight, Julian?
I don't remember the formula anymore.
Anyway.
Talking about education, we have something coming up from the finance minister, don't we, Sharad?
Yeah, we do. I mean, Malaysia has about, if I'm not mistaken, there was a news reporting that Malaysia has about 80% household debt. It's not a good number, isn't it? So government is pushing for a financial, you know, for Malaysians to be more financially literate. So I guess it's worth discussing about that.
Yep. This is about bankruptcy, actually, and the 80% household debt. That number is alarming, but you know, we can discuss about this more later, but a lot of it is from property, like taking loans to buy a property, and may or may not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yep. We also will be discussing a saving technique which promises retirement at 40, the Financial Independence Retire Early movement, or the FIRE movement, which cuts out, you know, any extra expenses, which I guess raises the question of, can you have fun while saving for retirement?
Very, very good question. And also, if you have any views or any opinion that you want to share with us, and we'd love to hear from you, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and also tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up next, we ask the question of whether rooftops are the answer to food security. And here is Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield to take us there, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:09 in the morning. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Sharad Abdullah on the morning run. And that was Less Than Zero by Elvis Costello. Now, rooftops of buildings are usually wasted spaces, often only used as access to services and maintenance areas of those buildings. However, a building in Singapore has turned their rooftops into a vegetable farm. So this building that was about 1,800 square meters, that's quite big, right? 18,000 square feet, more or less. You can build two bungalows on that. They use that space, and this is an HDB parking lot in Singapore, in Ang Mo Kio, Singapore. They use that space to plant enough vegetables to feed 1,600 people a month. What's not to like about this?
Yeah, there's a lot to like about that. And I love the idea that we can grow our own vegetables, have control over our food, especially now. You know, there's a lot of talk about pesticide and, you know, food safety. I mean, yeah, of course you can clean it, but nothing like having your own vegetables and having your own clean. And even more so, you know, if it can be organic, if you know how to grow organic food, right?
So this is totally organic because they don't use any pesticides at all. They use a kind of hydroponic system where they put in nutrients so that the plants will get all the nutrients that they need and all the sun that they can get, because rooftops are so sunny, right?
I think this is great because, I mean, food security as well is one of the major things that Singapore is facing, because Singapore doesn't have the perennial problem is that they don't have enough land, so they can't spare the space to have conventional farms like we do here, because we have plenty of land in comparison. So I guess what this is, they're really utilizing all the space that they have. And it also ties in with another Singapore government program, which I learned about fairly recently, which is the Skyrise Incentive Greenery Program, which is it's basically the Singapore government's move to integrate nature with urban development to try and mitigate that kind of urban heat island effect that they have going on.
So that's sort of like a multi-pronged strategy to fulfill a few things, right? You get food, you get some beauty, you sort of like reduce your carbon footprint, because if it's enough to feed, like one building is enough to feed 1,600 people, I guess vegetables. I mean, generally, you can't do much with vegetables in terms of filling up your tummy. But that's beside the point, right? You're doing something with the building, and you know, you use up that space. I mean, it's so many things all in one.
Yeah, I'm going to add two more things there, Julian. Another thing you can do is, you know, it sort of builds up the community spirit as well, isn't it? I mean, you get the whole community buy-in, people together, you know, growing vegetables together and so forth. And also, I think you create a space for children, you know, for them to have some outdoor activities. Now, there's so much, you know, there's so much talk about kids being indoors and not spending time outside. And I can understand that. I mean, there's not a lot of attractive places out there as well. So and then you resort to, again, you know, that same argument, gadgets and gadgets and gadgets, you know. So, yeah, it's good.
Does it always take the government to kick things off, right? Why can't their respective communities just take the initiative and do it? Like, we have a lot of buildings in Malaysia. Absolutely. We have a lot of sun. We have excess sun, right? And we have so little trees and vegetations and plantation. I mean, you walk out there, it's sweltering.
I guess it would be a little bit more difficult to start it to start this kind of thing at the community level and raise it up the ladder, as compared to if the government begins and then they will kind of solve certain things like, okay, funding problems, any approval problems, and then that trickles down and then the community can just pick it up and run with it. I guess, yeah, there's a bit of a barrier going the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think it seems, I mean, at least in my experience, it seems it could be easier starting at the community level, because you have a greater sense of control rather than the government. I mean, so wide, and you know it's not easy to get access to them. Community, but I guess the question is how, isn't it? I mean, you have to start off a movement. You got to start getting buy-in. You got to start introducing them. Number one is knowledge, as in how. Because look, grow a vegetable, how? You know, that's the first question.
I can take it that you don't have like your own little patch at home in your garden.
Yeah, that was maybe about 2 years ago. But fast forward 2 years after that, Julian. Yeah, I do know. It's just a matter of putting a seed in the ground and pour some water in it, and voila, you know, under the sun.
Yeah,
something grows.
Yeah, I think it's not that hard. I mean, I've seen enough YouTube shows on this. Like, there's this guy who's just so, you know, tongue in cheek. He basically like goes against the conventional wisdom, right? And he just throws seeds around and just put them in water, and they actually grow into like great big things, you know. But yeah, the community level, I mean, condos management, right? You can start it from there. Do you guys grow your own stuff?
I do not. Yeah. I tried, but I do not have a green thumb, and all my herbs died.
Yeah, mine too. So it takes a little bit of technique, like just to understand what's happening. Yeah.
I do. Well, we have plants, not vegetable, but I did take interest. So my community, I think we did start off having a sort of like an awareness program, just sort of getting someone to just talk about how, you know, the energy, you know, issues about energy, whether it's sufficient or not. It caught up some interest, but it started really small. And the interest is there. We have lots of, you know, excess. Well, when I say lots, I mean, of course, it's not like, you know, you can have a paddy field there. But enough, I think, you know, there are spots. And like I said, funding, we don't need funding. The land is already there.
Yeah, right, you there's know, a lot good. Of like around where I lived, somebody has actually used that empty space just to plant stuff, you know, and he named it the organic farm or something. And anybody could just go in to contribute, whether in terms of compost or to, you know, to even take some of the vegetables, right? And it's for free. Hmm. So I don't know. But then the next level is a sort of a permaculture to sort of solve our food security needs, right? Permaculture is just using using the symbiotic relationship between animals and the vegetables, you know, the droppings from animals, and using that to put into the compost and fertilize the plants to create this never-ending cycle of food for ourselves. I mean, it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can't avoid going to the supermarket to buy our food stuff.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's a start, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's a start, isn't it?
Okay, tell us what you think. Do you plant any of your own vegetables, or are you involved in any community projects for food production? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up next, the Fire Movement, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Blame It on the Boogie by the Jackson 5. Julian Lin and Schertz didn't think that I could have a life as a DJ. Definitely not my forte. So there's this movement called the FIRE Movement, which stands for Financial Independence and Retire Early. It's been with us for some time. The believers of this movement will try to save as much of their incomes as they can so that they can retire young. And this is as much about financial technique as it is a healthy dose of stoicism, which means don't have any fun life. I mean, is this something that is sort of mutually exclusive? Can you save a lot of your money and have fun at the same time?
It depends, doesn't it? I mean, depends on what is available out there. I mean, I've been in countries where government or, you know, at least city councils, they organize a lot of entertainment, for example, free concerts going on and stuff. I mean, in that case, you know, you don't feel fully deprived. I mean, it depends though, what is your cup of tea? Is sitting down and picnic, you know, listening to music is your thing, or is it hanging out in a pub? You
know, isn't it sometimes about just like enjoying the simple things in life? Is that easier said than done?
I think it's not, for me, it's not so much enjoying whether or not you enjoy the easier sort of life, as that this doesn't give you a choice. If you want to go out once in a while, then, you know, if you are kind of trying to achieve, if you've managed to achieve a balance with your financial saving, then you should be able to go out maybe once a week, you know, not necessarily every night. But with this, it's like you basically chain yourself to the house. You don't go out at all. You don't spend, because that would be spending money.
Right. So the idea here is to really transfer your enjoyment from today. This is really about extreme delayed gratification, right? Because in your 20s,
quite extreme, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people would not realize it that in their 20s, right, all the stuff that they do in their 20s are all like really silly stuff. You know, like looking back right now, my 50-year-old self telling my 20-year-old self, right, don't do that, don't go there, right? But if you kind of like shift your spending to after you reach a certain age and after you've achieved some degree of financial stability, isn't that idea a better idea? And also acknowledging the fact that you can have a middle ground on this. You don't have to like cut out all spending. You can just spend a bit to enjoy yourself once in a while.
Yeah, so I'm inclined towards that middle ground. What reading about the FIRE movement reminds me a bit of this program I participated in while I was in uni, right? So I was part of the Live Below the Line project in the UK. And that was basically to raise awareness of people who lived on minimum wage, and to kind of experience that level of attempting to pinch every penny. And it was really, really difficult. You know, I went out of my way to shop at places that sold rice for the cheapest amount possible, like a pound a bag. And ultimately I came out of it with a heightened awareness, but also just the awareness that if you can't really sustain that for long periods of time, especially not if you're doing it of your own accord and not, you know, through sheer necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be a certain kind of person to like keep on doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And just want you to hold that thought, because I think this is a conversation that would continue because Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng is worried about the high bankruptcy rate amongst youths, and he thinks that it's because of low financial literacy rate. That's coming up after the news, and in the meantime, here's Jump by Van Halen, BFM 89.9. Julian.
What?
What?
Okay. What?
Julian, Lin, and Sherritt's here. We're looking at Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, and he is worried about a lot of things. And one of these things that he's worried about is the rate of bankruptcy in Malaysia, because between 2013 and 2017, I believe, there are about 100,000 Malaysians declared as bankrupt. But actually, that's not a lot of people compared to the entire population of 30 million. But what's worrying is that the group of people, 60% of these bankruptcies are between the ages of 16 and 44. So what he's saying is that this is worrying because it's about financial literacy. These people don't have enough financial literacy, and therefore they become bankrupt.
Yeah, and I know that the numbers doesn't sort of reflect, you know, a big portion of the population here in Malaysia, but I think it's more a sentimental attachment that we have. I mean, the magnitude when someone goes bankrupt and the hardship that people go through, I think it's worth noting that, you know, 60% is a big number, and these are young individuals. Again, there's also, you know, Malaysia has reported before that, you know, our household debt is very high as well. I mean, we're talking about 80%. So that means, I take it from that figure, whatever that you earn, 80% actually is going to go back to someone else, and only 20% of it, or, you know, slightly more or less, is what belongs to you. And that's not much, isn't it? I mean,
well, no, what goes out are the repayments, not necessarily 80% of your income. It's still very high, because if you have 80%, then the amount of money to service that will be quite substantial, right?
Absolutely.
To interest, principal payments, and so on.
Clearly, young people in Malaysia are not practicing the FIRE.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, so it's interesting that the finance minister quotes a study by S&P Global Literacy Financial, which in 2014 reported that the financial literacy rate here in Malaysia is only at about 36%, compared with nearly 60% in developed countries. I don't know really what that it doesn't paint a very pretty picture of our population, especially our younger generation.
Yeah, so you know what exactly do you guys think is financial literacy? I mean, bankruptcy, for example, is very serious, because if you're declared bankrupt, I mean, it's a legal status. There's a lot of things that you can't do, like, you know, get proper employment, be directors, start your own business, and your entire, all the cash flows that you have will be looked at upon by somebody, right, to check that you repay your debts before buying other things. So what do you think is financial literacy, though? What is financial literacy to you?
For me, financial literacy is basically learning how to manage your money towards the end of a comfortable retirement.
Absolutely.
Two things. Like Lynn said, managing your finances, and also trying to, you know, learning how to grow your money, learning how to expend the money that you already have. And I think this is something that should start at home. I mean, it's something not just the government should do. I think parents have a very critical role. For my experience is that I think there wasn't a lot of education on money. I mean, perhaps just very minimal managing your finances. For example, you're given a pocket allowance for your weekly. And I mean, that was the extent of it. But I think they know more than that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they were investing money outside, and that was something I felt now growing up it was an important education. That could have been an important education for, you know, for children, really.
Speaking of education, why does nobody teach us in living skills how to do things like income tax, how to fill in our EPF forms? I felt
because you would start skipping classes if they did that. It'd be so boring.
But see, the thing is, when I came out of university and started work, and this is not just me, okay, this is a lot of my peers. Most of us had the same problem. We didn't understand any of this. You throw these acronyms at us, and it's like, what is going on?
I think, Lynn, what you're saying really hits the nail, and I think really is the fault of the financial industry as well, because they put so much hype and complication into these products, right? Really, I think that, and in, you know, a lot of my work, I try to push out the idea that, you know, buying a financial product is just like buying a car, right? Do you really go down into the entrails of the car and understand how the car works. No, you don't. You just decide you want to either buy a Myvi or a Toyota Camry or a Mercedes, right? And you know that the purchase of each of those different cars would have an impact on your life. And to me, financial literacy is all about that. Basically, how your decisions, whether it's financial or otherwise, affect your life. And that FIRE movement thing is this movement where, apart from the extreme forms of savings, they really use existing financial products today to help them invest like a geek or a professional, right? They understand these financial products to such an extent that would help you accelerate how your savings grow. You look at these numbers. By the way, yesterday, the EPF released this huge and amazing report called the Belanja One Coup, and in it they gave some figures on how much you need to survive per month, right? But according to EPF numbers, you know, 2/3 of the EPF members at age 54 only have 50,000 savings in their EPF, and that's like totally not enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll be continuing with this talk after this, we want to hear from you as well as to what you think about this whole thing. WhatsApp or tweet us, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you two there with Beautiful Day. You're with The Morning Run, Julian Lin and Sharitz here with you discussing the financial topics of the day. We got some social media coming in. Jolene, thanks so much for your tweet. And she says that we should check out Eat Shoots and Roots and Rainbow Montessori in Damansara Heights as well. They have a growing movement of community there. And I think there is another movement that I love, which is the Free Tree Society or something like that,
right,
where you just go up to them and they give you a tree, literally, which you can plant somewhere near you.
So those are trees, not vegetables or anything like
not
that.
Not vegetables,
right.
Trees to beautify your place and to cool down your environment. And it's really great, right, some of these communities. And this really links to exactly what we're talking about. If you're able to sustain some of your food needs, it has got financial impacts as well.
Yeah. And then we also got another, related to that, a tweet from Margaret Wing with, you know, she says that we need to take as much CO2, carbon dioxide, out of the atmosphere as possible. We need to be looking, planting everywhere there is an available space. And I think this is another thing is climate change, isn't it? I mean, it's real. It's been warm the past 1 week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then the question becomes, you know, this is the apocalyptic me asking the question, right? If the world ends tomorrow, what is your money going to be worth, right?
Exactly. So it's a little bit about finding that balance to say that you're still happy with your life currently.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we also have a WhatsApp from KY Ho. Morning Run, your music program has my thumbs up. So that's thank you very much to our producer, Roshan. As for the younger generation who lack financial eloquence, I'd like to dedicate Rainbows Can't Happen Here to them.
And Mr. Tan also likes The Beautiful Day by U2. So we're glad to be of service.
Yeah, and we also got a WhatsApp from Anne who says that your money is not your money until you spend it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
that requires some thinking, I think.
It does.
What do you mean, Anne? What do you mean?
Tell us.
Yeah, so this is another article that's written by Liu Jintong and that's featured in the New Straits Times. And the headline says, it's not the high cost of living, but low pay. So one way to get around the high cost of living is to have higher pay. Is that easier said than done?
But I think that's the reality. I mean, we've had a lot of discussion trying to reduce, for an example, you know, the cost of living. And it seems to be like hitting a roadblock. I mean, so many counter arguments saying that, you know, at the end of the day, it's subsidy and whether or not it's going to cost the government a lot of money. But one way is, I mean, toll, for an example. I mean, there's still discussion on that. For an example, if we were to buy at the toll, apparently it will bring the cost down, but it's going to cost the government money. But then the counter argument, the alternative to that is probably targeted subsidy. I mean, that's one of the options that are available out there. And for you to get targeted subsidies, the government needs money. And if you increase the income of, I mean, in general, population in Malaysia, you get more money, you give back more money to the government, then, yeah, channeling it back.
Yeah, for me, an interesting thing that Liu Chin-Tung brings up in his article is the myth that Malaysians don't want to take up 3D jobs, so dirty, dangerous, difficult jobs, because Malaysians are perfectly happy to go to Singapore and take up those 3D jobs because they get paid so much more. Because here, you know, you have graduates being paid 1,500 ringgit a month, 2,000 ringgit a month. So you can only imagine how much a street cleaner is paid. It's barely enough to live on. And I think I feel like this is something we really need to address, because wages just haven't been rising in tandem with our cost of living.
Absolutely, and in tandem with productivity too. Mm-hmm. Ramli Sirup says that financial literacy is not buying a 6,000 iPhone. Thank you very much. I think financial literacy is as much about your income as much as it is about your costs as well. So thank you very much for that. And we'll be coming back with more discussions after the 7 a.m. news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.